Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Trump versus Biden. I don't have to say anymore. We have the insight. We have the instant analysis right here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. We stayed up late so that you guys had the instant analysis to break down one of the most important debates in American history. Please support us at charliekirk.com/support and buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with very high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support, the worst. So while there's a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer to keep your family safe from criminals. The thugs are walking the streets, maybe coming after your family. You have to keep your family safe. That's why you need SimpliSafe. Look, crime is up huge percentages in New York and Los Angeles. They're breaking into homes. They're taking people's stuff. That's why you need SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe has everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It has an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window and door tailored specifically. Look, I like partnering with SimpliSafe because I know it keeps you safe. I use SimpliSafe for all the property that I care about, and you can set it up in under an hour. All this starts at $15 a month. There's no contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. They are in the business of keeping your family and your loved ones safe. So try SimpliSafe today at simplisafe.com/Charlie. You get a free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose. That's simplisafe.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Well, I knew it was going to be a debate. I didn't know it was going to be Chris Wallace and Joe Biden against President Trump, but we sort of expected that. My goodness, was that not an elite sabotage of President Trump, the likes of which that I could never have expected? Well, I guess we could have expected it. But when after the third time Chris Wallace asks Donald Trump to clarify his position on climate change, I said the fix is in on this. I mean, and look, the president having to defend his position on everything while Joe Biden is allowed to just be completely scatterbrained. So I have seven things that everyone needs to know. We are pleased to be joined live on Facebook and YouTube on the Charlie Kirk YouTube channel and the Facebook channel and podcast tomorrow. But I have the seven biggest lies that Joe Biden said tonight that all, we need to set the record straight. And we're going to go backwards, actually. And because the activist media, and that's what they are. They are activists. Chris Wallace was not a moderator tonight. He was in a, am I right? Was he not? He was interrupting. He was injecting his own analysis. And meanwhile, he never followed up with Joe Biden on anything consequential or meaningful. So let's start backwards. The first thing is basically Chris Wallace. He kept on saying, well, Mr. Vice President, the president says, as if he only uses the president's words against Joe Biden. But when it was the president, he said, well, Mr. President, the experts say that you're wrong about everything. You notice how that was kind of a linguistic trick that was being played? One of those things was around mail-in balloting and voting. The activist media refuses to ever acknowledge that there is legitimate voter fraud in our country. In fact, did you see the video yesterday out of Minneapolis, Project Veritas? Well, we actually are joined with James O'Keefe tonight. Give it up for James O'Keefe. James, come up here. If you haven't seen the video, it's unbelievable. James, tell us about your video that came out yesterday while Joe Biden says, no, there's no ballot harvesting. There's no fraud whatsoever.
Yeah, I tend to disagree with Biden about the fact that there's no voter fraud. There's a video that came out this morning of an actual cash exchange for a ballot. You actually see the money given to the voter, $200. This comes on the heels of the first video, voter fraud in Minneapolis, Ilhan Omar, ballot harvesters on tape. The guy's in a car. He's bragging about hundreds of ballots. He says, absentee ballots all over my car. My car is filled with ballots. These ballots were harvested from elders in the Somali community. It looks like a South Park episode if you hadn't seen the video. So this is just one of many videos to come, Charlie. Whistleblowers across the country, we're going to expose them all.
Well, James, you're an American hero, and they would never admit that there is a real thing such as voter fraud. So let's give it up again for James O'Keefe. Thank you, James, for being here tonight. You should support his work. But voter fraud is an absolutely legitimate thing that happens in this country. And just logically, when 120 million people do anything, we know that human beings are going to act in their self-interest. We know that fraud and corruption is inevitable. But the activist media, and Chris Wallace included, you can just tell by the tone of his questioning, he says, how could you possibly say that mail-in voting is not safe? And did you notice that 30 seconds later, he says, well, a lot of mail-in ballots end up in the trash and they're wrongly thrown away. Didn't you just say they're wonderfully safe? And they're perfect. And he says he's not even questioned when he's saying that. And so I have a list here of all the different instances of voter fraud in the country in just the last couple months. Now, we're not going to take the entire list. But if you go piece by piece and you can see how Chris Wallace and the activist media has decided to take a very specific position that they want to make sure that there is compulsory mail-in voting. So what they it's different than absentee voting. They want every single person that is registered to vote to get a ballot, regardless if you're alive, whether you still live in the state, whether you sign up for it. This is what happens in Oregon and Colorado. You can't even vote in person in many of these states. It's completely different than absentee balloting. Now, again, I'm just working backwards here. And so in the last 41 years, there have been 1,277 proven instances of voter fraud, Chris Wallace, as you joined the Joe Biden campaign. This has resulted in 1,102 criminal convictions. 24 million voter registrations in the United States are either invalid or significant. Significantly inaccurate. Would have been nice if the moderator would have mentioned this. Nearly 3 million people are believed to be registered to vote in more than one state, according to Pew Research. In 244 counties across the country, there are more registered voters than people who are legally eligible to vote. It goes on by saying 29 states have counties with more registered voters than people alive in those counties. 53% of Democrats support illegals having the right to vote. Illegals can currently vote in local elections in California. And in the first major election in California after ballot harvesting was made legal, Democrats won every single congressional seat in Orange County. The president is right to fight for voter integrity and to challenge this mail-in voting scheme that Chris Wallace was trying to push forward. So that's the first one. And so the second thing that really bothered me tonight when Joe Biden said it, and again, this went totally and completely unchallenged, is when he said the president, when he said there were good people on both sides of Charlottesville. Did you know this? Well, first of all, the organizer of the Charlottesville rally, Richard Spencer, do you know who he's endorsed for president of the United States? Joe Biden. The organizer of the rally has come out and endorsed Joe Biden. The activist media would never cover that. Number two, President Trump did denounce the white supremacy at Charlottesville. You watch the entire clip. He said very clearly, he said, I think it's awful. I think it's disgusting. What was he talking about? The debate of the statue at the University of Virginia. So they clipped that one press conference, misapplied it, and they say, oh, he says good people on both sides. I wish the president would have leaned in a little bit more and said, wait a second. Joe Biden, not only did you author the Clinton crime bill, not only did you call black people super predators, but you also said the first clean-cut black man you ever saw was named Barack Obama. You were friends with segregationists in the 1970s. And by the way, didn't your vice president completely attack you for being a racist, for supporting non-busing policies in California when that little girl was me? Not to mention he was best friends with former KKK members. And it actually fits in nicely because the Democrat Party is the party that opposed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, opposed women's suffrage. They've always cared about the color of their skin, of people's skin, not on the content of their character or their values. And that goes to a second point. What was Chris Wallace doing continually race baiting throughout this debate? Look, there's a lot of pressing issues in this country. Not once did I hear Chris Wallace, the spokesperson for the Biden campaign, mention that 1 out of 4 of young people in this country have contemplated suicide in the last 90 days. Alcoholism, antidepressants. The strongest moment of the debate for President Trump is when he mentioned the human cost of the lockdowns. Joe Biden was lying to the entire American people where he said it's either we shut down everything or you don't care about anyone. And by the way, you understand that if you're a young person, you have a 0.000009% chance of dying from the Chinese coronavirus. In fact, we have shut down our entire economy. We've lost more people to suicide than the Chinese coronavirus, young people in the state of California. And yet Joe Biden was allowed to gallivant the entire time with no interruption from Chris Wallace. I counted 13 times that Chris Wallace told Donald Trump to stop interrupting Joe Biden, but only twice when he told Chris Wallace to stop interrupting Donald Trump. That goes to show that the agenda there was very, very clear. Look, there's a serious problem out there. Our first responders and heroes, a lot of you listen to the show, a lot of them, you have relatives of first responders. You have to pay out of your pocket for gear for the job that you're doing. So, for example, if you're a police officer, or if your husband's a police officer, or EMS or medical worker, you have to deal with constrained budgets as it is. They're trying to defund the police, and you have to pay out of your pocket for the gear. Hunting for military or first responder discounts has usually been a total headache. My police officer friends, who are total heroes, they say they can't find the discounts they need. Big general retailers don't care about you and your sacrifices, just as long as you're just adding to the cart button, typical new age corporate America. That's what's amazing about GovX. You see, GovX works directly with brands to negotiate the best prices possible because you deserve the gear you need at the prices you've earned. Plus, you can trust that the gear you're ordering is 100% authentic, direct from the manufacturer. A huge collection of gear and apparel from popular brands, all in one convenient location. So right now, visit GovX.com. Use the promo code Kirk. If you've got a military or first responder background, visit GovX and sign up for our free for instant access to tons of deals and a community that honors your service. GovX.com, promo code Kirk. And going back to the Charlottesville thing, this is one of the repeated lies of the entire activist media, the Biden campaign against President Trump. Because if you actually look clearly, it's President Trump who deported an actual Nazi from this country. The same Nazi that Barack Obama did not want to deport from this country because he didn't want to take on the controversial issue. It was President Trump who designated more white supremacist organizations as domestic terror groups than Joe Biden or Barack Obama ever did. Now, this is the stuff that we have to make sure gets out there. And we have tens of thousands of people watching on this live stream. We have to understand that the facts get out there. And look, President Trump was under attack from both sides tonight. He had Chris Wallace. He had Joe Biden. And look, holding the line so that people understand the facts of what was mentioned and what was not mentioned is very important. Line number three, when Joe Biden said Antifa's not an organization, can you believe that he said this? He said, look, I wish the president would have jumped on that more, and he will in the future. Look, the president, He is a game time player. And again, he was under attack from both sides. And I think he handled himself very, very well. We have to be very clear to everyone watching. The president did a phenomenal job. And I think he really did. Antifa is not an organization, as Joe Biden said. It's an idea. Antifa has in the streets for dozens of days. They have U-Haul trucks. They're taking out weapons to go after people, that police officers and otherwise, saying Antifa is not an organization. And Chris Wallace, completely silent. So Chris Wallace was playing fact checker and prosecutor against Donald Trump, and he was playing protection racket for Joe Biden. And look, I'm all for equal questions for each person, but you better be tough on both people. Why did that he not say once? Well, Joe Biden, Antifa must be a real organization, because you actually said before that Antifa should not have a place in America. You've said that. So were you just saying that the idea has no place in America? Joe Biden was fed poll-tested talking points before this debate, and he was coached very intentionally. Line number four, and this one got me more fired up than the entire debate. And this is something that we deal with all the time at Turning Point USA. And you have to make sure your friends, your family understand exactly what just happened in this debate, which is a multi-pronged sabotage and ambush against President Trump. Not talking about the good stuff that happened in this country. Not talking about the peace deal with Israel and the UAE. Not talking about the embassy with Jerusalem. Not talking about getting tough on illegal immigration. Not talking about any of the positives. First Step Back, VA Accountability Act. Instead, the entire thing was, what can we possibly do from every angle to try to make the president look bad? Number four, when Chris Wallace says to President Trump, well, why wouldn't you want racial sensitivity training? Do you know what they're actually teaching? So what really upset me is tens of millions of people are like, oh, wow, who could possibly be against racial sensitivity training? This is called critical race theory. Critical race theory is so racist, the KKK wouldn't have even passed it as a measure of learning back when they were organizing people in the American South. Critical race theory, it was originally authored from the Frankfurt School, Herbert Marcuse. He believed that in five big things in critical race theory, this is what they were teaching in the government to our military, and the president rightfully repealed it. He gets attacked for it, and you know what the president, one of his best moments, he said, because it's racist. And he's right. And Chris Wallace says, well, how could racial sensitivity training be racist? Well, it's very clear. Critical race theory, authored by Herbert Marcuse. Number one, they believe your skin color matters. Do we believe your skin color matters? No, of course we don't. We're conservatives and Trump supporters. Exactly. God made us all in his image. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. Democrats have always cared about skin color. We've always cared about character. They believe that melanin is your master. Number two, in critical race theory, they believe that dialogue is evil, that if you talk to somebody, it does not matter. That's why Joe Biden says, shut up, man, to a duly elected president of the United States. Could you imagine if Donald Trump said, shut up, man, to Joe Biden or Chris Wallace or anyone else? They would have been attacked for weeks on end. They do not believe that dialogue matters. This is why they do not like the First Amendment. They do not believe in freedom of speech. The third attribute of critical race theory is it's totalitarian in nature. Who here has heard white silence is violence? If you don't speak up, you're complicit. This idea that if not only if you stay silent, there's something wrong, but it's even worse than that. It's that you must take the knee. You must post the black square. You must do exactly what we tell you to do, or else we are going to destroy you and ruin your life. This is totalitarian in nature. This is a key attribute of critical race theory. That's why they are making white people in the federal government take a knee for their skin color. That's a racist idea. And when President Trump repealed critical race theory, not racial sensitivity training, maybe it's the Democrats who need racial sensitivity training. By the way, if they want racial sensitivity training, they should go back to all of the segregationists that have served as Democrats for quite some time. The other attributes of critical race theory, which is very important, is they hate free societies. This is a Marxist revolution. They admit it. It's just as such. And the fifth attribute of critical race theory, which is very, very important to understand and recognize and realize, is that if you dare disagree with anything they say, they will call you the worst thing that they can say. That you're a racist, you're this, that they want no discussion, only personal attacks. This is what was being taught in our government. And yet Chris Wallace did something so immoral tonight because innocent bystanders think President Trump is going around with a sword clamping down on racial sensitivity when in reality, President Trump's doing the anti-racist thing by getting rid of critical race theory in our government. The fifth thing that really bothered me tonight was Joe Biden's what I call violent virus revisionism. It's this idea. No, seriously, it's this revisionist history. He says Donald Trump didn't take this seriously early enough. And you saw him do this many times. He was obviously coached to say this. Donald Trump closed down all travel, not just to China. You know how many confirmed cases we had when he closed down travel to China? We had 32 cases when he closed down travel to China. 36 deaths when he closed down all travel to Europe. You know what we did? You know what Nancy Pelosi did when we closed down all travel to China? She went to San Francisco, to Chinatown, and walked around and says, we stand together, probably contributing more to the spread of the virus, more so than anybody else. Joe Biden lied about ventilators. He lied about PPE. He lied about critical material. It is the Obama administration that left the cupboards completely bare, maybe intentionally, completely bare, so that the next president would be completely unequipped to be able to deal with the pending pandemic, the epidemiological Pearl Harbor that China launched on our country. Joe Biden is also lying completely when it comes to the reaction to the virus. Let me be very clear. The virus did not put people out of work. It was politicians' lockdowns that put people out of work. And it is Republican states that have relaxed their policies, such as Georgia. And guess what? As Arizona has opened, have you seen the infection rate and death rate in this state? They're flatlining and they're staying stable because we have better treatments, people socially distance, they understand the virus, and the Arizona economy is doing a lot better than California. I think we could be doing even better if we wouldn't have shut down for as long as we did in this state, by the way. We never should have shut down for as long as we did. And yet Joe Biden is in a complete, in my opinion, polemicist sophistry position. Now, a sophist, going back to Greek time, is someone who lies for a living. They're talented at it. And look, Joe Biden's been doing this for 47 years. I think one mistake that we made, I tried not to do this, is we set the expectations far too low for Joe Biden, right? We said if he doesn't drop dead, he's gonna knock it out of the park, right? And that's basically what everyone is saying online, like, Joe Biden did so well. Okay. He got numbers wrong. He confused himself. He told the president to shut up and he lied about his son. We'll get to that in a second. Multiple times. But I think we set the expectations too low. He's been doing this for 47 years. Now he's probably drugged up. Didn't take a drug test, by the way. And also refused to have his ears inspected. We can get to that later. However, Joe Biden in many different ways lies for a living. When he said the following, and I quote, that people just want to be safe. Come on. It's common sense. Well, of course you want to be safe, but we also want to be free. I mean, if you're just nothing but safe, you live in some form of a prison, right? And so it's that struggle between safety and freedom that has always made governing in Western society so different than in totalitarian dictatorships. If it was just about safe, then no one would ever leave their home. We'd have 10-mile-an-hour speed limits, right? It's about being free and having liberty, which takes what? Responsibility. And the president deserves credit. And I wrote this note because when he mentioned the drug usage, the alcoholism, the divorce, and the depression, he should have leaned in on that. Because the lockdowns are not a victimless action. People had their lives shattered. 100,000 small businesses closed for good under the Democrat central planning lockdowns. And the whole Biden framing, and this is a very important point, this is kind of one of the main, more philosophical takeaways from the debate tonight, is that Joe Biden was acting as if that I'll take care of you. You don't have to actually look after yourself. It takes a government. It takes a state. When Donald Trump, and I think he can lean on this even better in the coming debates, is like, look, liberty is hard, everybody. It's a hard thing to do this. There's costs, and every single death is a tragedy. But the reason why we have 70-mile-an-hour speed limits, not 17-mile-an-hour speed limits, is because we want the liberty to get places fast, and we know that some people are going to abuse that liberty. It takes responsibility. I actually think the more we treat people like governing adults, not wannabe infants, people want to be talked to that way. Joe Biden does not believe in that at all whatsoever. And so then we got to the point about the economy. And I actually think it was very powerful when President Trump brought out his mask, because I think that he was prepared for that kind of attack against him. And I think Joe Biden was taken off cue there. Look, if you're hungry right now, I got a solution for you. Let me tell you about Good Ranchers. They got the best meat in the country because Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised at harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, American values. Maybe you're a college student and you're tired of just eating the endless piles of garbage they feed you. Maybe you're a single mother and you just want to be able to feed your kids good protein. Or maybe you're a father with an obligation to put food on the table. Well, why don't you put meat on the table from goodranchers.com? You get 100% American-raised beef right to your door. Beef the way it used to be. I'm a big beef fan. I love meat. It's very important that you have good meat, and that's what Good Ranchers is all about. GoodRanchers.com is 100% American beef, chicken, and more, and you can support American farmers who support the American economy. Don't waste your money on cheap cuts or the overseas stuff. Come on, buy American, everybody. Get the good cuts your family deserves at GoodRanchers.com. They deliver your favorite meats right to your door and use the promo code CHARLIE. CHARLIE to save $20 off your purchase. That's goodranchers.com right now. Use the promo code CHARLIE. Save $20 for a limited time only. Goodranchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. Other part that I thought was unbelievably interesting, and Chris Wallace, the Democrat National Committee Communications Director, 2-1, can you comprehend for a second, just understand this, that Joe Biden and Chris Wallace, let me get away with this, not committing to court packing. I mean, that was one of the most unbelievable moments of the whole debate. And most moderate, independent, decent voters were like, well, what's court packing? And Donald Trump was rightfully saying, why won't you do this? And Chris Wallace said, sir, stop it, sir, stop it. And then we moved on. Joe Biden and Donald Trump slid it in there. You can see it in the transcript, but it was not remembered. Joe Biden completely dodged who he would put on the Supreme Court and how many people he would put on the Supreme Court. I mean, this is so beyond precedent, and Chris Wallace allowed him to get away with this. Joe Biden probably would pack the court, which is exactly what we learned tonight. I think the president's greatest theme for the evening, and it's obvious that he prepared this, he's been saying it, is 47 years versus 47 months. And I think that if Chris Wallace would have done his job, which he didn't, he would have said, now, Mr. Vice President, now, with all due respect, what would you have done now differently that you didn't do for 47 years? The endless wars that you declared, the corporations that you pandered to. And the thing that I think animated me in the economic terms more than anything else is because I know that swing voters are watching this, everybody, and it angers me because it's so pathologically untrue when he says the billionaires have gotten so much richer. The billionaire class is for Joe Biden. It's Jeff Bezos. It's Bill Gates. It's the richest people on the planet that want Joe Biden, not Donald Trump. He's like, well, the billionaires got rich. You mean your funding base? You mean Google? You mean Goldman Sachs? It's Donald Trump that has the middle class small dollar base, and it's Joe Biden that has the billionaire funding Google and Goldman Sachs. And he's like, well, they got rich. You mean your people got richer? Like, it's your base. They has more high dollar donations than any other candidate in recent history, except maybe Hillary Clinton. And then Joe Biden goes after the rallies. I thought this is one of the best retorts that the president had all evening. It's true. No one would show up for a Joe Biden rally. By the way, give yourselves a round of applause. We are bigger than any Joe Biden rally that he's had this entire cycle. And then Joe Biden kept on repeating this because I think he started the short circuit. He said, well, he doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have a plan. That would be one thing if he was a challenger running to become president. He has a record, which is better than a plan. Joe Biden has no record. We have a record of foreign policy, bringing Israel, UAE, and Bahrain to peace, holding Iran accountable, finally keeping China in check, striking down illegal immigration, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and now Amy Coney Barrett. And there was a very interesting thing for any Republican senators out there. Did you notice how Joe Biden tap danced around Amy Coney Barrett? They have polling about how popular she is. They have polling that you do not touch Amy Coney Barrett. And he was like, well, I have nothing against her. Now, Joe Biden is just doing what he's told because Joe Biden needs very clear instructions, right? Joe Biden he basically gets the programming in the morning and then he does exactly what he's told to do. He doesn't have big battery life, but he does exactly what he's told to do. And one of the instructions that was inputted into the Biden, you know, into the Biden programming this morning is do not attack ACB. She is very popular. So immediately instead they had attack on Roe versus Wade. And I actually think the president handled this very well. I'm going to be very clear. I believe in a complete and total repeal of Roe versus Wade. I think the decision was awful and has resulted in more innocent lives lost, 61 million abortions since Roe versus Wade. However, I think that making the entire debate versus Roe versus Wade, I think would actually have been a little bit of smokescreen considering we actually have a justice who's about to do something about it. So I think that was one of the president's best moments because that issue more than any other issue animates suburban voters, women in particular, that otherwise would have voted Republican. So from a political strategy standpoint, President Trump handled that very well. He said, how do you know how she stands? How do you know how she stands? Very, very well done. I thought that was very good. This is Joe Biden's exact quote. I'm not opposed to the justice. Again, his programming said, do not attack Amy Coney Barrett. So for Senate Republicans out there, lean in on ACB. It's a winning issue. If Joe Biden won't attack her, you should just get as many pictures of Amy Coney Barrett as you can. It is a winning issue. It showed me that it's not as polarizing as everyone would have said. And then for Joe Biden to attack the president on being in a bunker, I mean, really? Is this where we're at? Three times. I mean, this is the definition of sophistry. I mean, in fact, it's worse than lying. It's Orwellian. It's projection. So let me tell you how this works. This is how George Orwell wrote about it in 1984 in The Animal Farm. It's worse than lying. It'd be one thing by saying, I was never in the bunker. I'm Joe Biden. I've never been in the bunker. That's a lie. But Orwellian gaslighting projecting works like this. It would be as if I come up to you and I say, and you're eating cookies. How many cookies have you eaten? You say, I've eaten 6, but you've really eaten 15. That would be a lie. But then I come up next time and you're eating cookies. I say, how many cookies have you eaten? You have crumbs all over your face. You say, I've eaten no cookies. You're eating the cookies. I'm like, no, I can see you eating the cookies. Like literally, you're eating the cookies. You're like, no. And also you're a racist and you stay in your bunker all the time. It's so pathologically untrue that Joe Biden thinks that he can say anything with no reservations and no one will hold him accountable. No one will fact check him. The fact that Joe Biden in 9 days of September did not make a public appearance from his basement or bunker, calls Donald Trump the bunker candidate, should show you Joe Biden's lack of dedication to telling the truth. And he actually does not care. He actually thinks that no one will ever hold him accountable. It's incredible. So the fifth thing was Biden on the virus. The sixth thing. And I want to give the president credit. Again, he was under attack from both sides. He couldn't get a clear thought through. And some people were saying, well, I wish he wouldn't have interrupted. I'm going to defend the president here. I am. I understand it might not have looked good on TV. I get that. However, I've been in tough debates before. And it is harder than I can ever put into words to let someone lie about you and what you have done when you have a microphone in front of you when they lie in uninterrupted. And so I think we have to defend the president on this. Do I think next time he might want to interrupt a little bit less just from a strategy standpoint? Maybe. But I can tell you, I've been in debates like that, and it's hard. In fact, it's almost better at times to challenge it when those lies come up. And I think Biden handled it far worse than Donald Trump, because Biden got all sputtered and all of a sudden he started calling them names. And people are like, oh, this is a total mess. Well, it's a mess because Joe Biden said this is a circus, you're a clown, and shut up, man. And Donald Trump was trying to defend the truth and defend his record. So the other thing, so the sixth thing was this, was Hunter Biden. My goodness, Joe Biden going out and saying, my son has done nothing wrong. And Donald Trump, God bless him, really did his best on the Moscow 3.5 million wire. God bless Donald Trump for this, right? Let's give it up for Donald Trump. He tried his best on this, I gotta say. And Chris Wallace was having none of it. Chris Wallace had very specific marching orders from who, I don't know, but it was very clear not to mention anything to do with the Moscow wire transfer. So just a little recap, just so we're all clear on our facts here. Senate Republicans came out with a report just about, was it 2 weeks ago? I think it was about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, that said Hunter, by the way, they had criminal subpoena power. So this is not just like conjecture, that Hunter Biden received a $3.5 million wire from the wife of the mayor in Moscow, best friends with Vladimir Putin. No services rendered, all paid at once. No one knows what this was for. And so Donald Trump correctly turns to Joe Biden and said, what was this all about? What did you do for it? Chris Wallace, of course, did nothing. He said, sit down and shut up. I don't like you. And oh, yeah, I don't like your supporters. Because you understand they're attacking you when they attack Trump, right? Yep. They don't like you. They don't like your values. They don't like what we stand for. And they don't like our country. And so Hunter Biden, just so we're clear, he's a cocaine addict, abdicant father, who got sued into paternity court. And I wish Donald Trump would have said, you know, Joe, congratulations. You are a grandfather. You have another grandkid. You didn't even know it. It's true. Hunter Biden slept around so much and he got sued into court, paternity court. And it turned out Maury came for the announcement. You are the father. And so Hunter Biden went around the entire world selling access to the United States government when Joe Biden was vice president. Very clear. Donald Trump's kids stopped doing international deals when Donald Trump became president. Hunter Biden started doing deals as soon as he became vice president. Goes on Air Force Two, flies to China, secures a $1.5 billion investment. That was covered in the Senate report. And the $3.5 million wire tied to what? Tied to human sex trafficking in Eastern Europe and prostitution practices. Next time, I want the president to bring up human sex trafficking as a primary issue as to why his administration has been clamping down on this unspeakable sin. Child sex trafficking, and yet Joe Biden and his son is heavily involved in that. Hunter Biden, people on some of the prognosticators and the ruling class people on television are going to say, oh, I wish that he wouldn't have brought his son into it. No. There's a deeper point to this, and the president needs to lean in onto it. Hunter Biden was only doing what his father allowed him to do. Every deal that he signed, of course his father knew about it. The boards he sat on in Burisma, we have documents that show that the Obama administration was cued in on it. We know that the Biden family, they were working in harmony together to sell access to our government. And I think this is a recurring theme. And I'm upset, to be perfectly honest with you, because Chris Wallace did not allow a debate to happen. This was a complete and total sabotage ambush against President Trump, where we had three follow-up questions against climate change and follow-up questions against BLM Incorporated. By the way, not one thing about BLM Incorporated, about rioting in our streets. And Donald Trump tried to finish the answer on this, by the way. Donald Trump tried to talk about, wait a second, you call it a peaceful protest and they start looting. Shut up, Mr. President. Yes, Mr. Biden, please speak uninterrupted and glowing. Shut up, Mr. Please continue to speak. We want to hear more about you. And the president was making a good point, which is BLM Incorporated. You want to know about BLM Incorporated? Any of your friends that support BLM? Here's what happened with BLM Incorporated 3 weeks ago. Two cops get shot and targeted for assassination in the streets of Compton, Los Angeles. They're there on the side of the street yelling and struggling for their life after they were publicly drawn for execution and assassination. Social media posts right after of people laughing when they saw the incident and running away. Posted publicly, by the way, true story. Ambulances take 15 minutes to get there because no one called 911 until a bystander just came by and said, why are these cops on the side of the street? They finally radioed in for help. They go to the hospital, coming in and out of consciousness. And what do these cops hear from BLM Inc.? BLM Inc. on all of their internal message boards said, let's go to the hospital, let's go to the hospital. What did they start shouting? We hope you die. We hope you die. This is the base of Joe Biden's party. BLM Incorporated is the base of the Democrat Party. Was any of that conveyed tonight? Of course not. Instead, it was all about, would you condemn white supremacist organizations? Which, by the way, if you listen to the transcript, when Chris Wallace wasn't interrupting him, when Chris Wallace wasn't having the Chris Wallace diatribe hour, Donald Trump said, read the transcript. Yes, I'll denounce it. What do you want to call it? What do you want to call it? He said, is it this? Is it that? Fine. What do you want to call it? And now they're saying all over the media, Donald Trump refuses to condemn white supremacy. This is where we're at. No, by the way, I know that none of you are on your phones right now, but over there, it's the number one story that Donald Trump refuses to condemn white supremacy. Here's what happened tonight. The swing voters, they want to scare into not going into Donald Trump's direction. Let's talk some political strategy for a moment, everybody. Swing voters, specifically suburban women voters, the quiet Trump supporter in 16, where they never wore the hat, but they went and they voted for Trump, and they didn't tell anybody. They are afraid of a couple things. They're afraid of BLM Incorporated coming and burning down their home. But they also have very little tolerance, for good reason, for white supremacist organizations in our country. So Chris Wallace was trying to bait that conversation of Donald Trump being a somewhat soft supporter of white supremacy, despite the organizer of Charlottesville endorsing who? Joe Biden. David Duke. You guys have heard of David Duke? He endorses Democrats now. Endorsed Ilhan Omar. He's a complete and total Democrat. You can look it up yourself. David Duke from Louisiana hates Donald Trump. He says, you know why? He says, Donald Trump's too good to Israel. I don't like Donald Trump anymore. If you actually understand the white supremacists in this country, they hate Donald Trump because Donald Trump has restored funding to historical black colleges and universities, lowest ever black unemployment, First Step Act, incredible amount of success, first black woman brigadier general in the United States military. And yet this record, I think, needs to be talked about even more. And I think actually the best part of the entire debate for Donald Trump was when he talked about race. It was a 2-minute uninterrupted, very good moment. And Chris Wallace, of course, says it kind of like sarcastically, like, well, Donald Trump, you say you've done more for the black community with one exception, except Abraham Lincoln. Come on, defend yourself. I mean, you could just kind of see in the way they ask the question, right? It's so slanted. It's like, who could possibly believe something like that? But it's true. If you look at the results, opportunity zones, lowest ever black poverty rate, 6 million black people off of food stamps into meaningful work. You should applaud that, by the way. As I mentioned, First Step Back, HBCU funding. That's the record that we should be proud of. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is a Southern racist Democrat. And look, for all of you guys out there that might be taking a little easy on Joe Biden, I'm talking to my live streamers, anyone here, what you saw tonight should motivate you to get the truth out about Joe Biden. He was not a decent class act. He was going out of his way to intentionally misrepresent a man's record, and with it, all of us, those of us that love Donald Trump. The seventh thing that was so unbelievably frustrating to see, because the activist media allowed it to happen via Chris Wallace, was Joe Biden was intimately involved in the non-peaceful transition of power against Donald Trump. They're all talking about peaceful transition of power. They spied on Donald Trump. They launched a coup within our government against Donald Trump. Joe Biden was the architect. And Donald Trump, he mentioned this, and that's a good thing. And we need to lean in on that even more, because it was Joe Biden and his government that abused the power. Here's some things that I wish we would have talked about more. Number one, no talk about foreign policy. Donald Trump is the one that is ending the endless wars. He's getting us out of Afghanistan. He's ending War Inc. that has dominated our country for so long, bankrupting future generations and keeping our generation permanently overseas in these endless entanglements and misadventures abroad. I wish there would have been more talk. I think that the president, in his first remarks, they want to talk about Amy Coney Barrett. I think the president should have completely ignored Chris Wallace, say Amy is amazing, she's terrific, she's a constitutionalist. But let me start by this. Let me first by saying that I'm going to be attacked on the virus tonight. And let me tell you why that's wrong. It's called preempting the attack, right? It almost diffuses it. And from that moment forward, in the coming debates, and Mike Pence is going to do a great job against Kamala Harris. And by the way, Donald Trump did phenomenal, okay? But it's hard when you're two against one. It really is. Donald Trump is awesome on offense, and on defense, not exactly where we want Donald Trump, right? He's the best offensive player. It should always be about, here's what I did, he's going to undo this. Here's what I did, he's going to undo this. But when it's against two against one, it can be wildly unfair. And so the other part about this, which is really interesting, is who's in charge and who do you trust? And so Joe Biden went out of his way to try to almost say, give me more power, despite me screwing it up for 47 years, and I am going to fix it now. And Donald Trump, his entire message, which needs, I think, needs to be kind of told with a little bit more punch and spice, but he did a phenomenal job with this at certain moments, is that I trust people to have liberty to make good choices. I generally don't trust the expert class in this country. And when Joe Biden is talking about school opening, Joe Biden wanted college football canceled. He wanted our schools closed. And he said, quote, I would lock down the country again. When asked about it, he says, I never said that. The moderator says, yeah, you're right, because he says it. No one interjects at all whatsoever. This election, and then we're going to get to a couple questions here. This election is about who is in charge. And the broader point is this, is that Chris Wallace is a megaphone for the corporatist media. He is. And Chris Wallace was allowed to do whatever he wanted to do there. And this is not, and by the way, I will defend Fox News because they have Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. This is in no way about Fox News. It's about Chris Wallace. Because Chris Wallace out there was the spokesperson, not for Fox, but for the Presidential Commission on Debates. And what he did tonight was so outrageous. The double standard. If the left did not have double standards, they'd have no standards at all. Because the way that he went after Trump with just such a misapplication there. And by the way, here's just some questions about Joe Biden. Joe Biden, why did you call a lid on press events 9 times this last month? Number one, Joe Biden, who would you fill the Supreme Court seat with? Why did you say you're going to pack the court? Why did you say that you would end fracking? In fact, Chris Wallace said, well, you've made it clear, Mr. Biden, that you wouldn't end fracking. He said it so clearly. We're going to transition it out. We're going to end it. Joe Biden, can you please clarify your remarks when you said you cannot walk into a 7-Eleven without a slight Indian accent? Mr. Biden, can you please clarify your remarks when you called our army individuals, quote, bastards? Donald Trump did Chris Wallace's job for him, and yet Joe Biden peddles the lies. Three things that should be a learning moment for all of you here. Three stories that were perfectly placed by the activist media for debate prep for Joe Biden. Number one, the Atlantic story. You called the military losers and suckers. Why did they save that story for 2 years? They saved it right before the debate. The taxes, right? I think President Trump handled that okay. I would have liked to see him lean even more and say, hold on a second. I was a private business guy. I was exploiting the loopholes that you did as the head of the Senate Finance Chair. You got a problem with it. You were the head of the Senate Finance Committee. You were the vice president. Of course, I'm going to seek out deductions. I'm a businessman. I would have liked to see it that way. Now, there's nothing wrong with by the way, he paid tens of millions of dollars in payroll taxes, and he employed hundreds of thousands of people. In fact, I admire someone that actually tries to pay less to the government and pay more to their employees. I actually think that's a pretty admirable quality in anyone, let alone a president. And so the tax story is number one. The second one is the Jeffrey Goldberg story. And then the third one was the repeated lie around Donald Trump's racial disharmony in this country. And that just, the more they repeat it, you repeat a lie enough, it becomes a truth in the eyes of the people. And so this is why all of you matter so much. And the thousands of people watching on the live stream is that we need to get the message out. It was not out there. I just went through the list of lies that, I mean, a lot of people, you're like, oh, wow, that's probably right. The mail-in ballots, we had James O'Keefe who just talked about it. The Charlottesville lie, the head of Charlottesville endorsed Joe Biden. And he says, that's the reason why I ran. Oh, really? The organizer endorsed you. That's why you ran? Maybe because you want to bring another Charlottesville to our country? Antifa, not an organization. Critical race theory, been through that. Biden on the virus, Hunter Biden, and the Biden coup. Not to mention the shutdowns, the lockdowns, and the human cost of everything that's happened in this country. So let's get to a couple questions. I think we have one over there. Yes, how are you?
Doing well, Charlie. How are
Love
you
the
doing?
Hat and the shirt. Awesome.
Appreciate it. You did make it. So my question is this. We noticed in the debate that one of the biggest tragedies was moderation and the way that the debate was handled. So as one of your, as an officer on one of the campuses here in Phoenix, I deal with students every day, and one of the biggest challenges I face is communicating with them and getting them to care about politics. And I feel the debate format we're currently using, where you use one of these talking heads from TV to communicate to people, is antiquated. How do you feel about revamping the debate and having more modern moderators, more modern communicators such as Joe Rogan or even yourself moderating these debates? Because that would allow us as students.
I actually, it's not a bad idea. I'd love to do it. Thank you. No.
Charlie for
Thank you. But no, I actually think that in this new age that we're in, everyone is an activist, right? You're an activist for what you believe in. You should be. I'm an activist to try to save unborn, you know, children in the womb. I'm an activist for stronger borders. I'm an activist for free speech. I'm an activist for America, right? And so I actually think that Joe Biden should be able to pick one person that cross-examines Trump, and that Trump should be able to pick one person that cross-examines Biden. No, I actually think that that's a much better way to be able to do it. And then they should, here's the best way debating works, in my opinion. The best, again, this entire model is awful. The Presidential Commission on Debates should be completely and totally disbanded. It's a disaster. Here's my opinion, is that the best debate should be you turn off the mic of the other person and they get 2 minutes uninterrupted. If they were talking, it just doesn't do anything. 2 minutes, 2 minutes. And then the other person gets to ask the other person court style. What does that mean? Prosecutor style, where you can just continue to interrupt. You have the full power of the mic, right? So it's A versus B. And it's not, you're actually being put on the witness stand, right? And then the other person gets to do it to the other person. That would be a much better way to do this debate. Opening statement. Opening statement. By the way, where are the opening statements now? Usually there's opening statements and said, oh, by the way, Mr. Trump, tell us why you're so awful and people are dying. Like, okay, what? Like, how about an opening statement? It would have been nice, right? And so I agree. I think we use an antiquated debate model, and I think that it actually lends itself to complete and total bedlam. And it also lends itself to misinformation when the disinformation agent Chris Wallace is out there saying that, well, don't you believe that climate change is the biggest threat? Excuse me, hold on. We have 1 out of 4 of young people in this country that have contemplated suicide in the last 90 days, and you're worried about climate change? We have antidepressant medication up 600%. We have more people that have died of suicide than the virus in California. We have 100,000 small businesses that have gone under. We have 52% of young people living at home with their parents. We're on pace to have 500,000 less children next year than this year. And you're worried about climate change, Chris Wallace, with 3 different follow-ups? It's an absolute and total disgrace. Actually, I think that the president handled that answer very well. But I think that we need a complete new presidential model. I think the Joe Rogan uninterrupted, Rogan versus both, because I think Rogan would be tough on both of them. By the way, Rogan is physically tough enough. I think they'd both get in the line too. He'd say, stop it, okay? And Joe Biden would not be able to do it. He wouldn't. Joe Biden had the crudgel of Chris Wallace tonight. He had the nice little support arm, right? He had the support because every time he needed a bailout, Chris Wallace interrupted. It was 2 against 1. I'm upset, actually, tonight in the way the debate was conducted by them. And I'm going to defend the president on the interruptions. People say, I don't like the interruptions. Look, it might not, the stylistic part of it, whatever. It is hard to have someone lie about you without interrupting, right? Would you agree? It's a very hard thing to do. And I just went through all of them. It's something completely, and that needs to be totally mentioned. So we have a lot of live viewers right now watching on the live stream. We are going to give out 100 copies, New York Times bestseller, The MAGA Doctrine. And we'll give out some copies to you guys, too. We have lots of copies, by the way, of Don's book. But for people online, signed copies of The MAGA Doctrine. If you email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, and show us that you're subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show, we're going to pick 100 right now on the live stream, freedom@charliekirk.com. But you have to show that you're subscribed. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Do you have a follow-up?
Can I get one of those books?
Yes, you can. There you go. Okay. We'll give them to everyone that's here tonight. Okay? We'll figure that out too. I kind of feel bad because I'm promoting it. But by the way, you got to show me you're subscribed. So everyone here in this room, subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show right now. Take out your phone. You guys are probably already subscribed. Next question. Oh, I'm sorry. Over here. Yes.
Hey, Charlie.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm just wondering if you think Biden actually lost his radical left base for mentioning his support for law enforcement.
You know what? It's actually a great question. Thank you. I think that the untold story of tonight is how Joe Biden compromised the Democrat base. This is the untold story of tonight that no one in the activist media will be talking about, which is how Joe Biden refused to acknowledge that he co-authored a manifesto with Bernie Sanders, that Joe Biden refused to talk about the Green New Deal, that Joe Biden refused to say one bad thing against Amy Coney Barrett, that Joe Biden knows one thing, that this country is rapidly becoming a center-right country again. that he has to run to the middle and that the radical left is falling out of. This is actually very good news for everybody here, though. Do you notice how Joe Biden completely abandoned the radical base of the Democrat Party? We need to point it out. We need to lean into it. And we need to say that Joe Biden does not want to represent Democrat-based voters. In fact, I think the Civil War is looming. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, he turned his back on you tonight. And Joe Biden said something that every base voter out there, and by the way, if you're a socialist watching this right now, please vote for Donald Trump, because there's a couple things we can agree on. I kid you not. We can agree that big tech is a threat to our country. We can agree that these endless wars need to be ended, and we can agree that almost all politicians are awful. If we can agree on those three things and you're a Bernie voter, please cast your vote for Donald Trump, because it's better than the corporate Democrat, Joe Biden. But Joe Biden said something tonight that almost no one will remember. He said, "I'm the Democrat Party. I'm the Democrat Party." Like, excuse me, Joe Biden? You only became the nominee because of Bernie Sanders. That's right. He only became the nominee because Bernie Sanders started to win states and they needed to retreat back into a position to try to prevent Bernie Sanders from becoming the nominee. That is the only reason why Joe Biden won the nomination. Okay, next question.
Hey, Charlie. Great to be here tonight. My question for you is, after Joe Biden's performance tonight, how do you think Kamala Harris will perform?
That's a great question. In fact, I think that in this revisionist history that Chris Wallace was trying to go through tonight, you do know that the most liberal senator in the United States Senate is Senator Kamala Harris, running with Joe Biden. So he can try to run to the middle. However, it's going to be very hard with the Silver Fox Mike Pence to run up against, and he's amazing. I call him the Silver Fox. He's incredible. He's so loyal, and he's just awful. He's awesome, I should say. He's a terrific. I was going to say Kamala Harris is awful. I'm moving too fast. Kamala Harris is completely awful. Mike Pence is phenomenal. And in the VP debate, Mike Pence needs to turn to Kamala Harris and say, why is it that you co-authored the Green New Deal? Why is it that you massacred an innocent man, Brett Kavanaugh? Why is it you want to take our guns away? Why is it you want to target Christian churches? And the other thing I wish that the president would have mentioned tonight, just one little plug, is every church in America should open their doors, and I stand with the churches of our country. Because the people of faith, believe it or not, are now a swing voting community. There's a lot of Christians out there that are saying, oh, Joe Biden, he's so kind, he's so great, he's all these sorts of things. Meanwhile, he wants post-birth abortions, a million abortions a year, keep the churches closed. It's absolutely unbelievable. And religious expression must be upheld, and it must be defended. So how do I think that Senator Harris is going to do? I don't know. I don't know how Senator Harris is going to do, but I'll tell you, I actually think that she's more like Hillary Clinton. I think that Mike Pence is going to do a better job than anyone could possibly predict in the activist media. He's very loyal. He used to be a talk radio host. He was a congressman and a governor. Do not underestimate Mike Pence. Again, the email is freedom@charliekirk.com for everyone watching on the live stream. Email us your questions right now. Let's get to another question. Is it here? Here? There? Somebody? Over here. Keep hearing people playing the podcast back. That's a good sign. Yes. Hi.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing?
Good.
In your opinion, I think we all saw Joe Biden was using Chris Wallace tonight as a crutch. How do you think next debate's going to go? And do you think he'll be trying to use any more precautions or help?
He will go down. Chris Wallace will go down as doing one of the most unfair debates I've ever seen in history. Seriously. And his career is ruined. Chris Wallace will never be his father. His career is over. He should be excommunicated from all of it because what he did, because this is not just a television show tonight. This is something where they say over 100 million people watch tonight. So he actually interfered with the election tonight. Chris Wallace did more interference in our election than Russia did ever in the history of our elections. That's right. Chris Wallace interfered in our elections tonight. And it's absolutely disgusting. So let's get one or two more. We're going to take one from the internet, from the emails, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do we have one over here? No? I think we have people in line. No? Yes? No, we have a line. Because we have to be. No? Okay, well, I guess the mic is cut. So we're going to get to this question right here that was emailed to us at freedom@charliekirk.com. The essence of the question is, how do you think younger voters are going to vote? Well, look, Joe Biden has a younger voter crisis. And for all the young people out here, thank you for being here tonight, by the way. We need to be very clear that Donald Trump is the first one to generationally disrupt the bipartisan status quo of insider corporate deals, endless wars, and kowtowing to China. Our generation is going through a crisis right now. And I try to tell adults this all the time. As I mentioned, 1 out of 4 of young people have contemplated suicide. 52% of young people back at home living with their parents. The youth unemployment is record high. We need to have an optimistic, forward-thinking agenda for young people in this country, for family formation, for marriage, for flourishing communities, and to be able to take responsibility for our country. And I think the president is best positioned for that in a lot of different ways. So Joe Biden needs to recreate the Obama coalition. The Obama coalition is minority voters, suburban women, and also younger voters. And younger voters are not trending well at all whatsoever. So I want to thank all of you guys for coming here tonight. We're just about an hour. We actually capped it pretty good. The last question I'm going to take is this, but I want to give people one last chance to email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. They get a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. I want to thank all of you guys for coming tonight. There's going to be a lot of misinformation about this debate. Remember what I told you tonight. It was 2-on-1. There were so many lies told. It's very hard when you get attacked and criticized like that. With that being said, the president had some phenomenal moments tonight. The last thing is this. Charlie, what is your Electoral College prediction? I'm going to ask the audience, are we going to win Arizona? Is Trump going to win Arizona? We're here in Phoenix. I think we're going to win Arizona. There are more registered Republicans than Democrats. And a call to action for all of you. We need to go knock on more doors. We need to go make more phone calls. You guys got to show up to the Super Saturdays. Do not let the state of Arizona to go blue. I think we are going to win Arizona. We're going to win Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, Florida. I think the entire election comes down to Pennsylvania. The entire election comes down to Pennsylvania. And if we can get the message out that Joe Biden... And this is why Joe Biden keeps on mentioning Scranton, despite him leaving Scranton when he was 6 years old, never coming back. He's been a ruling class person for the last 47 years. He's not from Scranton. Donald Trump has done more for the people of Scranton than Joe Biden ever could. And it's because the entire election is now Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, I think, has all come through. And Arizona. Arizona is very important, but you guys think we're going to win. It's looking better, but we have to get out, get your ballots out. If you guys are voting by mail, make sure you guys do it securely and drive your ballot in or vote in person if you can and be responsible for other people to go vote as well. And for everyone watching out there, hold the line. This president is under attack because the 2020 election is about the question, who is in charge? Is it the people or is it Peter Strzok? Is it the people or is it Dr. Fauci? Is it the people or Google and Goldman Sachs? You see, our system of governance, the greatest document ever written in the history, political document ever written, the Constitution, allows for separation of powers, checks and balances, but it also is a republic if you can keep it, as Benjamin Franklin said. This needs to be a starting point tonight. We need to fight back against the misinformation, defend the president because he's done so much for this country and for all of you. So I want to thank you guys for being here tonight. God bless you. We hope to see you soon. Thank you. We're going to have continued analysis throughout the week. Please email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to know your thoughts. Who won? Who did well? freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you guys want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless.